audios, go to www.wordchurch.biz. That's B-I-Z.
Well, these days I pray a lot because the change in my family, and my oldest daughter will move to California, and my son will graduate from high school, and we pray for Lord, open the door for them. Man cannot shut. Shut door for them. Man cannot open. And ask the Lord to put them where they need to be in now time. And because pray a lot, and sometimes, you know, for us as human, most of the time you will pray for yourself, pray for your spouse, pray for your kids. But during the prayer time, the Holy Spirit will lead you to pray for somebody else. And the Word of God do speak to us. And sometimes the Lord will use scripture to ask us to pray for somebody maybe we know, maybe we don't even know. And today I want to talk about how to stay in the presence of God and not falling away. And let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's start at verse 19. Well, let's start 18. Run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and who given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. And in this scripture, it talks about we are not belongs to us. If we say we are Christian, we belong to God. And through our life, people see what God like. And we are presenting Christ to the heathen, to the people who don't know Lord. And we should pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. Well, no, 2 Timothy. Let's turn to 2 Timothy and chapter 2, verse 22. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. Again, I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone, be able to teach, and be patient with difficult people. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's heart, and they will learn the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap, for they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. And also, if we go down a little bit more, it said the dangers of the last days. And a lot of time I encourage people, read the Bible by yourself. And before you read it, just pray a very short prayer. Lord, help me to understand the things I read, and help him to pray the things I need to pray. Sometimes we don't know what we really want, but God knows. God knows your heart. God knows you want to serve Lord or not. And you know, we are all human. The Bible says very clearly, we all short of glory before God. But through the blood of Jesus, washes us as white as snow. And it's so important to pray for each other and lift up each other to walk closer to the Lord. And a lot of things are easy to say, difficult to do. You know, like I said before, in the morning when I woke up, you know, I read Bible and I pray, Lord, help me today. Be gentle, be kind, be patient. And you know what? A lot of time, maybe I get up about 5 minutes, I have lost the patience already. You know? It's like every day I caught myself, it's like impatient. Or sometimes it's like, oh, why is people doing this? It's just so foolish. But with my human understanding, you know, and sometimes I lost the people who does foolish things because they're in bondage. They don't know what they do. You know, just like Jesus on the cross said, Lord, forgive them because they don't know what they do. But in our human, because we are human, sometimes we don't see the root of sin. And we get impatient with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And you know, if we don't watch ourselves, we will be judge others. And we will do the things we shouldn't do and don't knowing yet. You know? Lord wants us to pray and to communicate with the Lord through the day. So the Lord will help us to watch the action we do and the word we speak. We should pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6. Sometimes okay, let's turn to Romans chapter 6, start 12. Today I will talk about, read a lot of Bible because a lot of time the Bible see more clearly than what I trying to do. Well, first of all, English is my second language. Second of all, you know, God's word is simple and clear and help people to see the condition of our heart, to see the society we are living. Mm-hmm. Let's turn to Romans 6, start chapter 12.
Verse 12.
Chapter 6, start of verse 12. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourself completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. And let's turn to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 talk about our lives need to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5, let's start 15, please. Ephesians 5, start verse 15. So, be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says very clearly, and let's turn to Galatians. Well, today I read Galatians, like a whole Galatians, and I just want to encourage you again, read the Bible by yourself. I like to read the New Believers, the Bible is a New Living Translation, and very easy for me to understand. Galatians start of chapter 5, start of verse 22. But the Holy Spirit produced this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have nailed the passions and the desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. Let's go a little bit more. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcoming by sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. That is very good reminding to us. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important. Pay a careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else, for we are each responsible for our own conduct. And also chapter 6 verse 10 said, therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. We should to help a brother, sister in Christ who fall down, help them, pull them out of ditches. Sometimes people fall in the ditch too deep. They have no strength, can get out of the ditch by their own strength because they are too weak or ashamed, or they think it's too late, which is not from God. God always gives us another opportunity. God asks us to repent so we can be reconciled. So please to remind each other, God is love. God wants us to work closely to Him daily, day in, day out, and ask the Lord to help us to be faithful. And it's like a marathon runner to run, do not stop, to be strong in the Lord. And as Ephesians 1 Corinthians chapter 13 said, love, peace, and joy, but the most is love. Scott?
turn to Hebrews and continue some of the same thoughts. Hebrews chapter 12. First verse talks about us being surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses.
Yes.
I want you to think about who the witnesses are. There are witnesses in heaven and there are witnesses on earth. We are surrounded by those who are believers. So let's look at verse 1 and begin reading. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Let us, and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now the writer here is telling us that there's a race that we need to be running.
Yes.
That we're running this faith race. If you're in faith, you are running the race. As soon as you drop out of faith, then you drop out of the race. And what he's telling us here is that there's a great cloud of witnesses. Hebrews 11 tells us of all those who had faith, and they believed God and they followed Him. And they prospered, they completed God's will and did many things. But they did not receive the full promise yet, because Jesus was yet to come. He was on His way, but He was coming later. And these Old Testament believers were strong in faith, and so they become like witnesses of our lives and our faith ourselves. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The author and the finisher. Someone might ask, where does faith come from? And where do I get faith? Well, the Bible says that we've all been dealt a measure of faith. We've all been given this faith that we need to use. We need to use it. It's like a muscle that we have in our body, but if we never use it, it never becomes very strong. But if we use it, then we receive God's strength in order to live the Christian life. You've got to be exercised. You have to exercise your faith and walk by faith and not by sight. But Jesus is the author. He's the finisher. He started our faith and He will also finish our faith. Now faith without action, it does not have power. But faith with action does have power. And that's where we begin to read here in verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. He's telling us to look. Keep your eyes open. And look to Jesus. A lot of times we look at the other person. Or we look at someone's sin. Or we look at the problems in the world. We look at hurts and people who seem to be receiving unfair treatment. All kinds of problems happening in our world. But he says, look to Jesus. Keep your eyes on Him. Because He is the one who's the author, the finisher, but also everything in between. Jesus will perfect our faith and bring it to maturity. And the reason He can do that is for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. He endured what God sent Him to the earth to do. And that was to carry the sins of the whole world on His shoulders on the cross, to the cross. And there, those sins were supposed to be dead. They died with Him. When He died, the sins died. That's what we just read in Romans 6. The sin will no longer have dominion over you. Why? Because they have died. And now you live in the resurrection of Jesus. When He was raised from the dead, He was raised for your new creation. That you would become a new creature. He endured the cross for you and me, and it was a heavy cost. Despised the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now just hold your finger there, and let's look over Colossians. Hold your finger in Hebrews. Go over to Colossians 3. Okay. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. So we just read it in Hebrews, we also read it in Colossians. But what are we supposed to look at? We are supposed to seek the things which are above, where Christ is seated at God's right hand. The reason is that we too, by faith, are seated together with Him. He has made a place for us. We belong to Him. And Jesus told His disciples during the Passover, He said, I'm going away, but I'll come back to you. I will go to prepare a place for you, and I will come and receive you and bring you to myself. That's happened already, even though we're still living on earth, even though we're still here. You have a place in heaven. You're seated together with Him in heavenly places. Let's look at Ephesians 1, book to your left, and chapter 2, verse 6. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I want to ask you, how many problems are there? How many bad situations are there? None. It is a place of perfection, a place where Jesus has sat down at the right hand of God because He has completed the work of God. He's completed what He was supposed to do. And God raised Him up and brought Him back into His glory and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at that name every knee shall bow and every tongue confess what? That He is Lord. He is Lord over all. Because He was from heaven to earth and back to heaven again. So He filled everything from heaven to earth and from earth to heaven and even below the earth. Even below the earth. Bible says He went and preached the gospel to those who were in prison, who a long time waited to hear this gospel. You see, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they looked forward to the promise of God. They looked forward to see what God had promised was going to come to pass, and they walked and they lived just like it was going to happen, and they didn't stop. They kept going. God promised them a lamb that would come and offer himself as a sacrifice. Just like Abraham took Isaac and was going to offer him as a sacrifice on the wood, God the Father took His son, bound him on a wood, and offered him. Abraham saw that picture, so he obeyed. But he saw the true picture, which is God in heaven, willing to sacrifice His only beloved Son. This is a great mystery, but it's awesome when you understand it. Keep your eyes on those things which are above. Do not look at the things that are hurting, are in the way, the sinfulness. Do not look at those things which are not of the Lord, but look to the things which are in God. Because those things, it says, We look again, Colossians 3:1. The reason we can do that is because our life is hidden in Christ Jesus. Let's read on, verse 2. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. When Jesus comes and appears again, it says, we also, with Him, will appear with Him in glory. Amen? Amen. That's the promise. That's the promise. Jesus made a promise to us, and we must walk by faith so that we inherit the promise. Keep our eyes on Him and run the race as if you're going to win this race. You're going to run to the end of your life and just go like Elijah, or just go like Enoch. What happened to Elijah? Remember? Dana?
Elijah went to heaven in a flaming chariot. But in the chariot.
Okay, let's look back at Hebrews chapter 12. And I got a couple more things to say and then I'll close. Verse 12. Mm-hmm. Says, therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Well, if you have weak knees, why, you can take this scripture to the bank. Strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people, and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. Mm-hmm. Count the things of God as precious. Count the things of God as valuable. They are better than gold and silver. Don't worry about gold and silver. Get a hold of God's preciousness. Count it as precious so that you will inherit. Do not sell the birthright. Do not give it away. Mm-hmm. For a little bit of food, or even gold or silver, which Jesus said you cannot serve God and mammon. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. Why? For he had found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. He was unable to repent at the last time, at the end of his life or later in life. But he gave his birthright to Jacob, who was not the firstborn. And we know that God blessed him mightily. So we see here that we're to pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. That's an important scripture, I think.
Yes.
Because I hadn't fully understood it. I wasn't even sure that it was possible. But I believe that it is possible, or it wouldn't be in here. Pursue holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See, God is holy. God is holy. And scripture began in Leviticus and said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And then Peter repeated it, said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Let's close with this verse in Peter. 1 Peter. 1:13. "Therefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Verse 14. "As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance." 15. "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.' And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear or reverence, knowing that you were redeemed, not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but you were redeemed with this, the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." So what did Peter realize that when he got back with the Lord after he had sinned? He said, "You're supposed to be holy, because the one who called you is holy." If we are children of God, and we are, we must be obedient children, it says. As obedient children, verse 14, not conforming ourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance. In other words, there's no excuse anymore, because you don't have the ignorance. You have the revelation of the Word of God that tells you that you are children, His children. God has ordained that you be born again and be made new. And you leave the old in order to obtain the new. You leave the old in order to obtain the new. I was just thinking of Elijah. Elijah had a mantle that was anointed of God. That's the kind of mantle that we're supposed to be. That we receive God's Spirit in a special way that we can follow Him. And that we can be obedient as dear children to our Heavenly Father. Because He judges impartially. Partially judges according to each one's work. In other words, what we actually do with our life. So I just pray and ask God to bless each and every one of you. Let you be completely filled with the anointing and the holiness that God has prepared for you. It's not something you can do on your own, but it comes as a gift. It's in the grace of God. Holiness comes in the grace of God. Salvation comes in the grace of God. Peace comes. No condemnation comes through the grace of God. So all these gifts, grace means gift. All these gifts have come to you in God's grace. And it's not of works, lest anyone would be able to boast. By grace are you saved. That not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. It is a gift of God. So remember, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. Seek those things which are above, where He's seated at God's right hand. You know what He's doing? He's interceding for you and me. He intercedes and prays continually to the Father. He just needs to lean over and talk to Him and say, "Father, you see my servants down there. They're meeting here tonight, and they are asking and calling on your name, they're asking for a special measure of grace, that each of them would be fully ready when the time comes when He comes back to take us home. Let us just seek Him in that way. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Father, thank You, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank You, Lord, that Your Word is like a rock, and Your Word is Your Son who came and spoke it to us. Thank You, Lord, that He was the precious, through His precious blood, He was ordained to bring salvation to us. And we thank You, Lord, that He was without spot or blemish, a lamb that was willing to sacrifice and become the Passover lamb. So now, Lord, we are Your lambs. And we want to be without spot or blemish. We want to be pure and holy. We want to be clean. So wash us and cleanse us from all sin and unrighteousness. And help us be completely cleansed and purified through the sacrifice of Jesus. And help us to live for other people, that we live for You, Lord, on this earth with purpose and divine instruction, that we are following You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.